Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us for this message today. This message is the second message in a series of messages that accompany a new book that we're offering to you free of charge entitled, What is a Christian? What is a Christian? A Biblical Study of the One True Faith. And this is the second message. The title of this message follows along with these messages will follow along with the chapters of the book. I urge you, if you're listening to this, or if you get the DVD or a CD of this message, to get the book too. The book is intended to be a companion to guide you through the Bible concerning the true definition, the biblical definition of what a true Christian is and what a true Christian is not. It's what I call in my writing, as far as writing books, I've written another book called What is Salvation? You may be familiar with that. These things are tools for self-examination. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Well, this message is entitled The Uniqueness of True Christians. And this is part one. I've had to divide this up into two messages. The Uniqueness of True Christians. And here's the logic of this title and this chapter. If we're going to say that Christianity is the one true faith, the one true way of salvation, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, then it cannot blend in with other religions or human religion. There are things that are unique about Christianity. And that's what I want to deal with in this message and the next and in the chapter of the book. What is unique about true Christianity that no other religion holds to? Jesus Christ, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. None other way of salvation, the Scripture says. Christianity. And so this is the uniqueness of it. Now, let me say at the outset, before I get started on what I'm going to deal with, what I deal with in the book and what I'm going to deal with in these messages about what is unique about Christianity, I in no way intend to deal with every unique doctrine of Christianity, everything concerning the doctrine and the practice of true Christianity that is only unique to Christianity. There's no way I could do that in one, even two messages or even one book. There are a lot of things that we could talk about that are unique to Christianity. What I'm going to deal with concerns the basics of Christianity in the way of salvation. What is unique to Christianity as far as how God saves sinners? And of course, we understand that that means that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. We'll be talking about that. But what's unique about that way of salvation? That's what this book is, the book that I've written, and as it guides you through the Scriptures and these messages. And the first thing that I want you to see is what I call the most foundational truth of Christianity. If I were to ask you that question, what is the most fundamental truth of Christianity, what would you say? Well, here it is. And that's this. The Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. That's the first, most fundamental, unique doctrine, truth of Christianity. This book, the Bible. I mentioned in the last program that no human book can compare with the Bible. This is God's Word. This is what you need to be reading and studying. The reason I preach, the reason I write books is not to set myself on the level of the Word of God, even though I have a lot of Scripture references in the book, and I have a lot of Scripture references in my preaching. In other words, whatever I say to you, it must be based upon scriptural testimony. Thus saith the Lord. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. So no human book, no human message can compare to God's word. It has to line up with God's word. And certainly no human book can replace God's word. There's just no comparison. So if you do order the book, and I urge you to order it, it's free of charge, don't think that I'm trying to say, well, put down your Bibles and read this book that I've written. No. Get your Bibles and let it be a guide through the Bible and see if what I tell you lines up with the Bible. That's the fundamental truth. Everything I believe and know about Jesus Christ in His person, everything that I know and believe about Jesus Christ in His work of salvation, what He did to accomplish salvation for His people, is found and based upon what the Bible says. Therefore, I say the most unique doctrine of Christianity is this: the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's the fundamental text that we'll start with. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, which reads, and Paul writing to Timothy, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And what he's talking about there, he's been taught of God. Verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, the written Word of God, which they had then as the Old Testament, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." In other words, the Word of God. This is the Word of life. And look at verse 16. He says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Most of you know that that means literally, God breathed. This is the breath of God. This is the inspired, the inerrant Word of God. It's profitable for doctrine. That's the teachings of the Bible. Profitable for reproof. That has to do with exposing what is wrong. And for correction. That's telling us what is right. And for instruction in righteousness, the way of righteousness. What is the way of righteousness? The only way I can find that is in the Bible. You see, that's how I know that the way of righteousness is not the works or the will of men. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, none that doeth good. The way of righteousness, according to the Bible, is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, and what He accomplished on Calvary's cross to save His people from their sins. And Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God, that's a sinner saved by the grace of God, that's one who's justified by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, that's a Christian. The man of God may be perfect, that means complete. You see, Christians are not perfect people, but they are complete, complete in Christ. Truly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, understanding that the Bible, this is unique now to Christianity, this book right here, no other book is like it. No other book even compares to it. You need to read and study and pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal the words of this book. And here's one of the first things that if God makes you wise unto salvation through the teachings of this book, here's the next thing that's unique to Christianity, and that is this. This Bible is a book of Jesus Christ and the way of salvation by God's grace in and through Him. This book is a book of Christ. In other words, it's simply telling us this. If I read this book and miss Christ and the way of salvation in Him, then I've missed the meaning, the theme, the object, the value of this book. Christ told the Pharisees that. He says, you search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. He said, they are they which testify of me. And in this book, in passages such as John 14 and verse 6, what does he say? He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This book and these things that I'm telling you now are unique to Christianity. It speaks of Jesus Christ Himself and what He alone accomplished for His people to save and to preserve them unto eternal life forever and ever. It speaks of the person of Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Now, this book is so unique. It speaks of the sinfulness of man. And I'll talk about that later in these series of messages. Talk a lot about it in the book. The total depravity of man. We fell in Adam. This book teaches that. That's unique to Christianity. No other book teaches that. No other book other than that, the Bible, and those things which relate the Bible truly. We fell in Adam, ruined by the fall. Man was ruined. And the only way that man can be saved is to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the death of Jesus Christ as the surety and substitute of His people. And all who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ will be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. They'll be brought to faith in Christ. But let's go back. Jesus Christ Himself. Who is Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 1. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. We're going to see that the gospel is unique to Christianity, the true gospel. Verse 2, which he had promised afore or before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament. And he says, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now this is about God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. What does that tell us? This person, Jesus Christ Himself, is fully human without sin. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He is man. He's the perfect man. And then verse 4 of Romans 1 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ is God. He is God-man. He is the Word made flesh dwelling among us. And this is unique to Christianity. Jesus Christ is God and man in one person. And that's an amazing truth. It's a truth that just boggles our minds, but it's true. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. His name shall be called Jesus. Matthew 1:21, when the angel telling Joseph that Mary shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then in verse 23, he quotes from Isaiah 7. He says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's an amazing thing. And as I quoted before, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, without argument or debate, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up unto glory. Who is Jesus Christ? The fact, the truth of this, of the person of Christ is unique to Christianity. He's God in human flesh. This is the kind of person it took to save God's elect from their sins. And that brings us to another unique truth of Christianity. And that's this. Jesus Christ lived, He died, and arose from the dead. But now don't stop there. You know, I've heard people say, well, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Well, the gospel includes those historical facts. And you cannot be a Christian, you cannot believe the gospel, unless you believe that Christ truly lived, that He truly died, and that He truly arose from the dead. When I was in seminary, I had professors who claimed to be Christian, who denied the literal virgin birth of Christ. They denied the literal perfect obedience of Christ. And they denied the literal resurrection of Christ. Now, they were denying the uniqueness of true Christianity. Jesus Christ lived, He died, and He arose from the dead. That's uniquely Christian. And you cannot be a Christian and deny those things. But don't just stop there. Don't just say the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What is unique to Christianity? Yes, Jesus Christ lived. Yes, Jesus Christ died. Yes, He arose from the dead. But here's the key. He did all of that as the surety and substitute of His people. Now, who are His people? True Christians. He said in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." His people are the ones whom the Father gave Him before the foundation of the world. They're called God's elect. And if you study the Bible, now listen to me. If you study the Bible, you will find that one of the most common names for true Christians in the Bible is the elect of God. Some people say, well, that just refers to the nation Israel. Oh, no. Study the Bible. But here, now let me emphasize this. These things are unique to Christianity. Jesus Christ lived, died, and arose from the dead as the surety and substitute of His people. What is a surety? That's one who takes the debt of another upon himself to pay that debt. And Jesus Christ was set up before eternity, before the world began in eternity, to be the surety of His people, whereupon their sins, the debt of the sins of His people, were charged, imputed to Him. And His righteousness, meaning the value, the merit of the work that He would do in their place as their substitute, in His death and burial and resurrection, His righteousness would be charged to them. Romans 10:4 says this, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." That means Jesus Christ is the finishing, the fulfillment, the completion, the perfection of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, truly, every true Christian has righteousness before God. And that righteousness has nothing to do with their works, has nothing to do with their decision. It has all to do with what Christ did in fulfilling the law and dying on the cross. He is the Lord my righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For He, that is God the Father, hath made Him, that is God the Son incarnate, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us." Christ, who knew no sin, that we, who's that? True Christians, might be made or become the righteousness of God in Him. Christ took my sin as it was imputed, charged to Him. And He gave me His righteousness, which is imputed or charged to me. So the next truth that is so unique to Christianity, listen to this now, is this. Justification before God based on the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other religion teaches that. Justification before God based on the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is unique to Christianity. What is it to be justified before God? Listen to me now. To be justified before God is, number one, to be declared by God Himself to be not guilty. Not guilty. Now listen, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And if God were to ever give me what I've earned or what I've deserved, even based on my best efforts to serve Him, I would receive nothing but eternal death and damnation. So, how can I be not guilty? To be justified before God is to be declared righteous. How can I be declared righteous? I don't have a righteousness of my own. Even at my best days, I do not qualify or equal to the righteousness of God. There's only one way, and that's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ charged to me. His blood washes away my sins. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the justified shall live by faith." Those who are true Christians, those who are truly justified, live spiritually, eternally, by looking to Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of their faith. That term, the righteousness of God, in Romans 1:17 is so important. You see, my righteousness before God is not the righteousness of a man. It's the righteousness of God, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. No other religion teaches that. That's unique to Christianity. That's unique to the gospel, the Christian gospel. You see, Christ is my righteousness. He's my surety. He paid my debt in full. Christ is my righteousness. I can't plead my faith. I can't plead my decision. Yes, I have faith. It's the gift of God. Yes, I made a decision because God made me willing in the day of His power. I can't plead my prayers, my worship, or anything. I must plead Jesus Christ alone as my righteousness before God. Who is He? He's the God-man. What did He do? He accomplished my salvation through the redemptive work that He did as my surety and substitute. I stand before God in His righteousness alone, freely imputed, which God the Holy Spirit in the new birth has brought me to receive by faith. I believe in Him. I rest in Him. My confidence is in Him. When I stand before God at the judgment, I have one hope, I have one plea, and that's Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the Lord my righteousness. Do you understand how unique it is? There's no other. God can only be just to justify me based on the righteousness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is so unique to Christianity. No other religion. Every other religion, every religion of man has in some way conditioned salvation at some stage, in some way, to some degree, on man. And let me add this. Whenever Christians, those who claim to be Christian, claim that Christ died conditionally for people upon their meeting some condition, that is a false Christianity. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Go through the Word of God. Remember what I said at the beginning of this message, the uniqueness of Christianity. The Bible is the inerrant, inspired Word of God. If you claim to be a Christian, can you put that claim to the test of Scripture? Am I a Christian according to what this book says? People may say other things. Your loved ones may say other things. Your own heart may tell you other things. But what does the Word of God say? That's what this whole series, that's what this book is all about. What is a Christian? A biblical study of the one true faith. And there's no other way to determine this subject but by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. What is really unique about Christianity? We can talk about a lot of things. As I said, there's no way I can cover every teaching, every doctrine that is unique to Christianity alone in just one book, two messages, or whatever. But I want to give you the fundamentals. I want to talk about salvation. I want to talk about who Jesus Christ is and what He accomplished and how that affects the lives of His people. That's what we'll be studying in this series on what is a Christian. I claim to be one. Do you claim to be one? Are we really? What does God's Word say? God's Word says that Christians, the justified, not guilty, righteous before God, shall live by faith. And that faith is not their own power. It's not their own goodness. It's the power of God's grace and God's goodness revealed in both the person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that passage in Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment of the law. You're not the fulfillment of it. I'm not the fulfillment of it. Your faith is not the fulfillment of it. My faith is not the fulfillment of it. Christ is the end, the fulfillment, the completion, the finishing of the law for righteousness to who? To everyone that believeth. And who are those who believe? Well, they're true Christians. And why do they believe? Because God has given them the gift of faith from the life of Christ based on the redeeming work that He accomplished to fulfill all righteousness on behalf of His people. And that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. That word power, that's where we get our English word dynamite. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Jew, to the Jew first and the Greek or the Gentile also. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, that's the preaching of the gospel, to faith, that's the gift of faith that God gives His people in the new birth, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.